Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Kit Russell speaking. For quite a few years, I've been in association with many of the leading female impersonators of the country, both in the capacity of producing and staging them in musical reviews and in writing and coaching them in individual roles. And every so often, one appears on the scene that is really fun to work with, and more important, is gifted in the art of fast repartee. So if you enjoy a little mud in your eye, it's my pleasure at this time to present a really outstanding personality in the art of the risque. Let's sit back and really tie one on with the provocative Mr. Ty Bennett.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for the clap. God knows I've had everything else. And good evening. Welcome to our first show. We're so glad you all could come. We hope perhaps one of us will be as fortunate before daybreak. But I doubt that, what with the way things have been going. As the gentleman told you, my name is Turlur Lifshitz, and we do want you just to relax and let your hair down and have a gay time with us. I'm quite sure you know your reputations were shot to hell the minute you came in this joint. You're all under suspicion. So now that you're here, relax and enjoy it, or we'll lock the doors and make you one of us. Or just make you. I think that's what the hell you all need. I'm not sure. You know what they say, if you can't lick them, join them. I licked them and I joined them, and here I am. You know something? My mother would kill me if she knew what I were doing. She thinks I'm still hustling in St. Louis. But I fooled her. Here I am in New York with all you nice people. And I can say very honestly, darlings, I don't know what the hell I can do here to you, for you tonight. I know what I'd like to do. I do what I'd really like. This joint would be a supermarket in the morning. And let's face it, we are doing rather well now as a fruit market, so why spoil a good thing, I always say. However, I have had a couple of requests tonight. Unfortunately, the microphone won't fit. Did you think it would? Well, I'd get a hell of a charge out of it, if nothing else, wouldn't I? Mike is so thin with such a strange head. Reminds me of my 10th husband removed several times. And thereby hangs a tale. I really shouldn't talk about my husband. He's here tonight. He's back there in the corner with my wife having a drink. No, don't laugh, please. It's a terribly confusing arrangement. I never know which way to turn when I get in bed. However, we have settled the whole thing very amicably. We sort of decided to have a daisy chain, and I'm the anchor man. That way everybody has a ball. Well, let me tell you about this part of the show. This is what we call the elegant part of this bitchy shindig. We have many goodies planned for you. We have, for instance, a little game we play, a thing I invented called Swallow the Leader. Of course, I'm the leader. We had something planned for you, too, that had to do with a girl and a pony. Unfortunately, the pony died this afternoon. So unless we have someone in the audience who'd like to stand in for a pony. No comers, if you'll excuse the expression. Well, if any of you decide, let me know. That way the aristocrats can do their act. To replace our little pony act, of course, the management had a divine idea. They were going to have two little girls fly in from Chicago who billed themselves as the Cherry Sisters, but their plane was late and they got laid over in Cleveland, so that screwed that all up. So I'm afraid you're stuck with me. And as I say, I really don't know what I can do for you here. I suppose perhaps I could tell you a little bit about myself. And, well, as a matter of fact, I will. I just finished a trip around the world. Welcome, fellow travelers. I knew there had to be one or two of you here tonight. I couldn't possibly be alone all by myself in this joint. Well, anyway, our tour did start in the United States. And while we were traveling, we noticed that in the various sections of the country, the trends in entertaining all seemed to be a great deal the same. We surmised that in order to be a great success in show business today, you must play with something in public. No. I can give you several good examples of this. We have Elvis Presley, for one. He's an excellent example. He plays with his guitar. We have Roberta Sherwood, who bangs a cymbal in public, which I think is terribly chic. Then, of course, we have the originator of the whole trend, Arthur Godfrey. If you recall, Arthur is the man who had Lipton's tea by the balls. He played a ukulele. Then we had the rock and roll bit, and from there we had the calypso craze, where we had Marianne at the seashore pounding sand, which was a good place for her, too. So, I think, perhaps being that you are such a nice folky-type audience, I shall sing some folk tunes for you. I figure I can folk these tunes up as much as anyone, more so in some cases. I've chosen several things. The first tune was recorded by four lesbian friends of mine several years ago, and, of course, it went to the number one spot on the hit parade, and... As a matter of fact, they recently had a thing going for them called Lollipop. I understand they took a licking on that, too. Anyway, I'm sure you do remember that grand folky old tune, Mr. Handman, Bring Me Some Cream. Mr. Sandman, you evil queen, you put the sand in the vase. No, Charlie, what the hell are you playing? You must excuse him, darlings. Whenever he plays that in that tempo, we do what we call the gay version. Charlie, you must be very careful. We have a terribly select audience here tonight. I don't know who the hell selected them, but they're very select. Let's try something a little bit more in keeping with their taste, shall we? This old house ain't made a quarter. This old house ain't made a dime. If the show gets any queerer, hell, we'll all be doing time. Don't laugh, it'll get you first. Of course, tonight, if we do get pinched, I insist on having a seat in the wagon. I'm getting sick of hitting my head, getting in and out of that damn thing every night. The other night, it was so crowded, I had to sit on one of the policemen's laps. And that nightstick was just... Well, I'd like to see what the hell the daystick is like. Well, as you might have guessed, darling, I do have a bit of a problem here with my accompanist. Not too long ago, we were playing out west, and we had a delightful band. We had 10 good pieces. We got to the Arizona state line, and the inspecting officials asked us if we had any fruit with us, and we lost the whole damn band. Consequently, I'm left alone with only my French pianist here, Jacques Strop, who does very well. Well, now, let's impose on you here for just a moment. Let's ask you all to use your imagination. Now, you must have imagination or you wouldn't be here tonight. Let's suppose it's a gorgeous summer evening and you're out with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, whichever you prefer this week. The top is down on the car, among other things. She has her head in your lap. She looks up into your big brown eyes and sings a lovely ballad that goes something like this. Don't cry, Joe. It'll grow. Oh, you know Joe, too. The story of my life. Every place I go, Joe. Well, yes, that's the story of my life, and of course it's kind of a problem. And it's the story of really what happened with this damn tour. Actually, we started out as sort of a tour de force, and it ended up that we were being forced to tour. But we did travel in high style, darlings. It was divine. We traveled by Greyhound bus. You know what I mean. Stop and go. Then when you want to go, they won't stop. So our little tour did take us to Canada. And while I was in Canada, I had a divine time. I picked up on some French expressions, and I think perhaps I'd like to translate one or two of them for you now. For instance, hors de combat. That means there's a fight in the ladies' room. Or Jeanne d'Arc. That means the light is out in the men's room. Or la petite chose. That means your fly is open. And God knows I wouldn't harm one unless it was open. Anyway, we had many, many interesting things happen to us in Canada. For instance, we found a charming little hotel. Oh, the French color and character and so on. It was a very nice place called the Hotel Elysee, or Easy-Lay, whichever you prefer. It was a divine little place, really. It had one or two drawbacks, of course. For instance, the walls were so thin, occasionally you could hear the girl in the next room changing her mind. And one evening, we had a couple that apparently had just been married living next door. They had moved in. Oh, the newlyweds were just out of this world, my dear. And earlier in the evening, it seemed that they were having an argument. I heard this horrible pounding on the door. And I finally figured out that perhaps a woman had just decided to go make herself ready for her bridal bed. And what happened? The man was knocking on the door, trying to get in. Bang, 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 bang. She says, never mind, darling. I'll just be a few minutes. So in a few minutes, he was knocking again. Bang, bang, bang. So he went over to the door, and he said, listen, dear, what's the holdup? She says, I know what you're knocking for. He says, yes, but you don't know what I'm knocking with. So finally she was ready, and she came out and got into the bed, and she said, oh, excuse me, I must say my prayers before I go to sleep. So she got down on her knees and said, now I lay me down to sleep. He said, the hell you do. Well, so much for the Hotel Elysee and Canada. Well, our tour, of course, had to continue, so then we swung way down south of the border. While I was down in South America, I had the great pleasure of meeting the biggest bullshipper down there, Bill O'Dwyer. And, of course, one afternoon, I was out sort of cruising around with some friends of mine, a few sailors that we had the pleasure of meeting, and we saw a charming little tobacco shop. In the shop window, they had a divine sign that read, buy now, fly later. Well, of course, we couldn't take them up on that. However, we did meet Jose. Oh, what a man this one was. Talk about a green thumb. The stuff he was growing was that high. Well, of course, our tour continued, and we wound up in Italy. It was divine. Venice, especially. I had a wonderful time. Summertime in Venice, I met a very charming man who wanted me to stay there and become, of all things, a prostitute. He thought I had particular talents because I could swim both sides of the canal at the same time. But of course, while I was there, I sort of developed a little yen for collecting glass and various objects d'art. And I went into a charming little glass shop that was owned by Rosano Brazzi. I was looking for Venetian glass, a Venetian goblet, as a matter of fact. Well, literally translated, that's a small Italian sailor. Well, so much for Italy. Of course, our tour couldn't possibly be concluded without making a visit to Greece. While I was there, I met a charming, charming little Greek boy. He was divine. He came from a rather large family, and if you know these Greeks, of course, their family ties are very, very strong. For instance, I offered to bring the little boy to this country, but he didn't want to leave his brothers behind, and that did cause quite a problem for me. Well, of course, we finally got back to America, and we went directly to the West Coast. And while I was on the West Coast, I had the pleasure of appearing in a motion picture at Pornographic Studio. Now, of course, it was only an 8x10 glossy, but it was a picture. Actually, really, it was a lung x-ray. And don't laugh, darling, because you may see it on your Easter seal. While I was out on the West Coast, of course, they were filming one of the best sellers, Gone with the Wind. And, of course, every actress in Hollywood felt she was just right for the role of the heroine, Scarlett O'Hara. Of course, notwithstanding was Miss Betty Davis. Betty felt she was made for the role. Unfortunately, she wasn't made soon enough because they gave it to Vivien Leigh. Anyway, I think it would be kind of a camp if I did an impression of Betty for you, had she played the role in Gone with the Wind. And I think I'll do the famous birthing scene for you. Now, if you recall the story, Atlanta is being stormed by the Yankees, Melanie is about to have a baby, and of course Scarlett is left with no one but her little slave girl Prissy to help with the birth of the child. So now just relax a moment. And we might have seen this had Betty Davis played the role of Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind. Scarlett O'Davis, girl midwife. Melanie's about to have a baby. Look at her. Judging from the size of her, she might be giving birth to a nation. I wonder where my little slave girl Prissy can be. Heavens, there she is down in the courtyard lying on the grass with nothing covering her but a thin boy. Prissy! Come up here! What took you so long? I'm going to beat you. I'm going to beat the bejesus out of you. Nothing but a cotton picking masochist digs pain. Now listen, Prissy. Melanie's about to have a baby, and I want you to help me with the birth. What's that?
But Miss Scarlett, I don't know nothing about birthing babies. I'm a lesbian.
Really? Well, better to be a dyke than a seawall, I always say. Now listen, Prissy. I want you to run next door and get me the following articles for the birth of the child. I'll need some string, a plumber's helper, a jack, and 2 cans of Drano. Cleanliness next to godliness. And don't forget the buckets of gin for the dry martinis. And hurry! Wouldn't anybody like to kiss a sweet old-fashioned girl? Skip-de-dippy-doo. What is it, Melanie? Oh, shut your hole. I wonder what's keeping Prissy. She's been gone so long. Heavens, here she comes now, and she's so excited. What is it, Prissy? What is it?
Miss Scarlett, the Yankees is coming, and it's gonna burn Atlanta.
Really, Prissy, really? I've always wanted to see that damn city in flames.
But Miss Scarlett, it's gonna ravage and pillage and pilfer.
Really, Prissy, really? Well, pack, we've got to get up the old dirt road to Tara.
But Miss Scarlett is gonna rape all the women.
Really, Prissy? Well, unpack, we're staying. Well, so much for Hollywood. Hippity hop to the cat house to get a piece of Fanny. A girl for you and a boy for me and a les for Sister Annie. That is one of my famous Jewish madrigals. My sea shanties. Yeah.
Hollywood, the land of fruit and nuts. If you're not one, you're the other.
I understand that things have gotten so bad out there that they put a fence around Pershing Square to keep the fruit from picking the people. Oh, God! Of course, actors and actresses are fabulous, and of course they realize they've got what it takes. Well, my dear, I know I've got what it takes, too. But if I can't sell it, I'm sure as hell gonna sit on it. Now pay attention, because you may just learn something here. Now I got what it takes, and it's breaking my heart to give it away. I said, give it away. Now I've got the stuff that'll make these old daddies pay. They pay and they pay. I've been saving it up since the Lord knows when. Ain't playing Santa Claus to none of you men. I've had it so long, I hate to abuse it. But if I'm ever broke, I'll be damn sure to use it. Cause I got that thing, that certain thing the town is trying to get. I said trying to get. But this big baby, baby ain't gonna part with it yet. Now you can bet. I was born in Paris, raised in Rome. If you don't like my crackers, honey, leave my box alone. Cause I got what it takes and it's breaking my heart to have to give it away. Second chorus, same damn thing. And it's breaking my heart to give it away. I said, give it away. Now I got the stuff that'll make these old daddies pay. They pay and they pay. I've been saving it up since the Lord knows when. Ain't playing Santa Claus to none of you men. I've had it so long, I hate to abuse it. But if I'm ever broke, hot damn it, I'll bruise it. Cause I got that thing, that certain thing the town is trying to get. I said trying to get. But this big baby, baby ain't gonna part with it yet. Now you can bet. Now you took me to the circus, and what did I do? When I saw what the elephant had, I wouldn't go home with you. Cause I got what it takes and free.